So, with that said,
wonder about God. And I was thinking the other day, I had somebody tell me once, in fact, it was my daughter. She watched me go through all kinds of cycles in life and this and that. She saw me quit smoking many times. She saw me quit drinking many times. And this, when I finally come to receive Christ into my life for real, July the 21st at 6 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of my swimming pool, I was so excited. I called her and I said, "Debbie, I did this and I did that and I don't smoke anymore and I don't drink anymore." And she said, "Oh, good, Dad." She said, "I'm happy for you. I'll hide and watch." Hide and watch? Yeah, I want to make sure it's real this time. So I just hide and watch. But I was thinking maybe that's what God does. Maybe God hides and watches. And we can't see him, but we know that he's there. He's hiding and he watches out over us. And he probably said, "Wait a minute, guys. Just because you don't see me doesn't mean that I don't see you." And in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, it said, "You are the God who sees me." Psalm 139, verses 1 and 3 said, in essence, "O Lord, you have searched me and seen me." And in John chapter 1, verse 48, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, and I saw you." Jesus said that to Nathanael. And then over in Genesis 16:13 again, Hagar, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." Hagar said that to God. So those are just a few of the times in Scripture by which we as human beings have felt seen by God. Sometimes we call it a God wink. I like that program when they have it on television called God Wink, because those are little situations that we realize, oh, God do see us, yeah. But God saw through the prophets the impossible shepherds, those who were in dire circumstances, those asking for forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. And God did likewise. If you remember the prophecy of Simeon, foretold Jesus' ability to see the hearts of everyone. And we know that he did. Even the demons knew that he could. And he still does. You see, to feel seen is very powerful, especially when someone recognizes you and what everybody else has failed to see in you. There's a research psychologist who wrote a book. I love books. Everybody writes books. I told Judy, we got to write a book. Everybody's got a book. And they'll say, "In my book, it says this and that." Well, in this book that was written by Adam Grant, he explored something about the hidden potential of people and the science of achieving greater things. Within the pages, he explains how we as people, sometimes can miss people's greatest potential because we limit ourselves to what they have already accomplished instead of what we recognize in them, that they may be capable of wonderful things. Those who are in the college admission department know this for sure, because they are trained not merely to look for stable indicators like grades, test scores, but they are trained to look at the character and the drive and the passion and other signs of people's potential. For these tend to yield people to do greater things in this world. Now, success isn't merely about past successes, but it's about aspirations for all who want to become, an ability to stretch beyond our strengths. And God grants us that to a true measure of potential. Not a peak that you reach and how far you can climb to get there, but the potential that is in every one of us. And our greatest risk as leaders is not placing our bets on the person with unapproved potential, but playing it safe with the person who will keep things the same. So what do we do when we do that? Well, we don't stimulate growth. But when we recognize potential in a person and we invite them to exercise all their gifts, that's what they did. Nobody knew Jesus better than this. Nobody knew what was going to be taking place with that ragtag bunch that he picked to be his disciples. Look at that group. You think about it. Jesus chose in the first place this likely, unlikely bunch who were radical at times. Might even say some of them were dangerous, and they were nothing but a bunch of fishermen. Can you imagine calling a bunch of fishermen to change the world? They were different. Every one of them was different from the other in very unimaginable ways. Rough around the edges, if you would. And several even had tempers the size of Mount Vesuvius exploding. You never knew when they might explode. But what did Jesus see in them was not a group of perfectly accomplished or trained Jews, because they were all Jews, except for Dr. Luke, that would have made Jesus' job a lot harder. But Jesus saw something else in every one of them, and that was potential. In a huge sense, Jesus' disciples were, here they go in, a diamond in the rough. And he was determined throughout the 3 years of his earthly ministry to use them into the image, God's image, if you would, in order to start a movement that would be unstoppable. Here we are 2,000 plus years later, and that movement is still gone and it's unstoppable. We are again in the midst of the beginning of another great awakening, praise be to God. And that kind of raw faith that God would require to make a difference in the world. And after Jesus' ascension, they would receive Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit. Energy and power would anoint them. We'll read more about that in John's Gospel next week, in chapter 14. You can read ahead if you like. They would go on to truly, with God's help, to stretch beyond all of their strengths. The church grew. Why did the church grow? Because they grew. And when Jesus sat down with his disciples for one last time, one more post-resurrection experience before he would gather them for his ascension. He gathered them and said, hey, I got to go home to be with the Father, guys. Come with me. Be with me and I'll show you where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. Well, they were unprepared. Without the rabbi, they're thinking, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? We can't do this without the rabbi being with us. They felt no direction. And here he is. He's going to leave. They felt insecure without him, but they wanted to be by his side to show them the way. We were called the way before we were called Christians. That's what the disciples were called. They were called the way because they were following one who showed them the way. And then Jesus answered confidently. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And whoever believes in me will also do the works greater than I. In fact, they'll do works like this because I am going to be with the Father. He anointed them for ministry. What a word of support. What a confidence that Jesus had in this ragtag bunch as he was handing off his ministry. He was hanging onto them and hoping that they would continue on. He didn't hope because he knew they could do it because he would send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus had these guys for 3 years and spent a lot of time with them, can you imagine what they must have been thinking at the moment? But Jesus told them everything that they needed to know. He said, I am not going to leave you alone. How will you know your way forward? I am the way. If you know me, and then you will know the way to go. With me beside you, empowering you and assuring you, you will do greater things. In other words, God is telling them, I see you.
I see you, Peter. I see you, Thomas. I see you, John. I see you, James. I see you, Ralphie. I see you, Joanne. Sharon. I see you, Linda. I see you, David. I see you, Joanne, Mark, and Jamie, and Phil, and Betty, and Donnie. Oh, Judy, I even see you. So before Jesus would leave his disciples that day, he would make sure that he knew that they would not be left alone, that they would not flounder or fail, because God had already seen the potential that they had to carry out his mission. Now, they may not see him in the flesh any longer. We know that because he's not here with us in the flesh this morning. But he is here with us in the spirit. But we would always see the potential that God had placed in every one of us. Our ability, our character, and the future of God's mission would not be based in their own need for perfection, but a gift of God through the Spirit of the Lord, and more importantly, because of His grace. Now, Jesus wasn't interested in relaying to His disciples a how-to recipe to grow the kingdom construction program. No, He invested in the potential, the faith, to the infinite power, potential that He had seen and known in them to carry on a mission to see every unique and beautiful potential in every human being, and how to heal it, how to coax them, how to draw it out of the people of God so that the kingdom would emerge organically and humanly. So to be a human for God is not a terrible thing. No, it's not. God created humanity with potential and purpose to create communities of cultivation. Disciples who nurtured in faith in Jesus, who dared to explore unique ways to follow the way, who love deeply and see without judgment, who can spot the diamonds in the rough. When I first asked Joanne to be the lay leader, and I said, pray about it. She says, I will. So a month or so went by, and I asked her, I said, well, what do you think? I don't know. I don't think I'm ready yet. I think I need to do more preparation. I said, no, you don't need to do no more preparation. Joanne, you're a diamond in the rough. Look how she has grown in these last 6 months, spiritually, in a way that is just wonderful. Now, I've had some good lay leaders in my ministry, and I've been grateful for all of them. But Joanne has got the heart of a lay person who wants to help lead the church into the next great awakening. She can help this little church, and she is already. And you can too, by exercising your gift and your potential, because we all have it. And sometimes we don't know if we want to use it or not, but we have the potential. And how do? We share this good news one person at a time. As the gentleman that wrote that book assured us, he said in that book, he said, you don't have to be a wonder kind to accomplish great things. Because Jesus assures us, if in my name, you know I love the buts and the ifs, if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Now with human beings, this is impossible. But, I love the buts and the ifs. With God, everything is possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. So there it is. Jesus is betting on your potential. Every one of us individually. Your faith to the infinite power of potential. Now you may not see God around you with that super, super spiritual power. But every day of your life, God sees you. My prayer is that you will receive the gift that God has given to you to the 10th power of potential, because you got it in Jesus' precious name.